Argentina's debt problems are affecting other emerging economies and the demise of the world's cheapest car. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. A global trade war has shaken international investor sentiment and raised concerns about the impact on the world's biggest economies, but it's emerging market economies that have been rattled most by a host of other issues this year. As the BBC's Daniel Gallis reports, Argentina is just the latest to make headlines.
This has been a tough year for big emerging markets like Brazil and Turkey, who saw a massive devaluation of their currencies. But perhaps the most troubling case is Argentina. The country has many credentials to fight a run on its currency, the peso. Argentina has the world's highest interest rates, it has a government committed to market reforms, and it has a multi-billion dollar deal with the IMF. But still, investors are taking their money out of the country. Argentina has been issuing more debt since this crisis started, and now there are fears the country won't be able to honor its payments. As part of the IMF deal, the government promised to tackle the problem through spending cuts. But workers and Congress are resisting changes and say society is already overstretched with cuts. Living conditions are tough in Argentina. Wages are not keeping up with spiraling inflation, which is the highest amongst G20 nations. On Wednesday, there were fresh signs of how markets distrust President Mauricio Macri. Just as he was on television asking for an early release of the IMF funds, the peso had its worst day this year. The IMF's Director General, Christine Lagarde, issued a statement saying she's still confident in the government's handling of the crisis. But right now, not many people are convinced.
Daniel Gallis in Sao Paulo. Let's do the numbers. The Argentine peso hit a fresh record low overnight, bringing losses so far this year against the U.S. dollar to roughly 45%. Turkey's currency, the lira, is also seeing fresh pain, falling more than 3% today. It's down 8% so far this week as investors await key inflation data on Monday. Meanwhile, global stocks are lower amid ongoing trade talks in North America. Now, he's best known for his bagless vacuum cleaners and bladeless fans. Now the British billionaire James Dyson is going into electric cars. The BBC's Theo Leggett has more.
The company was founded in 1991 by James Dyson, who's a kind of a maverick entrepreneur. Dyson vacuum cleaners are premium products. They do sell very well. So taking an existing appliance and trying to alter the design to make it better.
And that's kind of a theme we're hearing again, because he's talking about a, quote, radical electric car, and he's going to start testing these on a former World War II airfield.
Yes, this is all very cloudy and mysterious. We don't know what this electric car is going to be or how it's going to be powered, although Dyson did take control of a company that was developing solid-state batteries, which, if anybody can get them to work, and nobody really has yet, are supposed to be a lot better than the current generation of lithium-ion batteries. So we know he's developing an electric car. Given Dyson's track record of sort of rethinking conventional designs and doing them differently, you would expect it to be innovative.
How big is the electric car market?
The electric car market at the moment is still pretty small, but it's growing very rapidly, particularly here in Europe, where emissions legislation for conventional vehicles, petrol and diesels, is becoming more and more restrictive. There is still room, I think, for small manufacturers, provided they have an innovative product.
Theo Leggett. For India's billion-plus consumers, the Tata Nano was marketed as the world's cheapest car. But almost a decade after its launch, production has stopped. Where did it all go wrong? The BBC's Rahul Tandon reports from Kolkata.
This is the moment in January 2008 when the Tata Nano was unveiled in Delhi. It came with quite a fanfare, with many believing that the world's cheapest car would change the Indian car industry forever. The man behind it was Ratan Tata.
Today's story started some years ago when I observed families riding on two-wheelers. The father driving a scooter, his young kids standing in front of him, his wife sitting behind him holding a baby. And I asked myself whether one could conceive of a safe, affordable, all-weather form of transport for such a family. A vehicle that could be affordable and low-cost enough to be within everyone's reach. A people's car.
But for some reason, in spite of its cheap price, 1 lakh rupees or around $2,500, the Nano has not been a hit on India's roads. Its increasing cost and safety concerns were some of the reasons that customers turned their backs on it. Ratan Tata himself admitted that marketing it as the world's cheapest car was a mistake. Business analyst Swati Banerjee says in an increasingly aspirational India, that was the biggest factor.
What people might think about me is suddenly very important. That's what dictates us to buy bigger cars.
We've heard what the experts think, but what about the customers? Let's ask some on this busy street.
It is cool, but for poor people, Tata Nano is good. But for middle class or upper family, the Tata Nano is not good for them.
The Nano for an Indian family, it was a very small car.
So the reason for the Nano's failure is clear. Millions of Indians wanted a car, they just didn't want the world's cheapest one.
Rahul Tandon reporting. Now finally, a British study released today found 54% of commuters using new train Wi-Fi systems here were sending work emails. So instead of technology giving people more freedom, the study says it just shows people are working more. Not news to any of you early risers, I'm sure. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.